dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing, then someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, "Friend, you may not know me now." And then he said, "But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." Then another man stood before you and said, "Remember the time a missionary came to your church. His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. And Jesus took the gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave." One by one they came, far as the eye could see, and each life somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made, unnoticed on the earth, in heaven now proclaimed. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I am almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord. He said, "My child, look around you, for great is your reward." Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. Thank you for giving to the Lord, for I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am so glad you gave. I am so glad you gave.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Jones. Take your Bible, if you would, this morning. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. Isaiah, chapter 43. God bless you for being in the house of God this morning. Hope you came to get something from heaven. Take home with you today. Think about it. Meditate on it this afternoon. Put it to practice in your life. Isaiah, chapter 43, and verse number 25. Isaiah 43 and verse 25. Would you stand with me as we read the scripture this morning? In Isaiah chapter 43, God's driving home a point here to the people of God. And if you'll notice in verse number 11, he says, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. Boy, that's pretty narrow-minded, isn't it? You mean tell me there's only one way to heaven? There's only one Savior? Who's God think He is? I tell you who thinks He is. He's God. He makes a statement, and He's making a point. He says, I'm the only one who can save. Look down at verse 15. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. And then he comes to verse 25, our text verse, and he makes this statement. He says, I, even I, am He that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, and will remember, and will not remember thy sins. He says, it's me, it's God, it's your Savior that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake and will not remember thy sins. Now, I want to take that verse right there and I want to hammer home a point this morning. And the title of the message this morning that I've entitled it is this: Totally, Completely, Eternally Forgiven. Totally, Completely, and Eternally Forgiven. Now, Father, thank You for the Word of God. Stir our hearts this morning, we pray. We're so grateful for Jesus. Where would we be today without Christ? Where would we be in our lives today if someone had not told us about the saving grace of Jesus Christ? And that not only did they tell us, Lord, that we accepted that gift of eternal life. Lord, there may be some here this morning that have never heard a clear presentation of the gospel. They've never understood the fact that once when we come to Christ, we're totally, completely, and eternally forgiven forever and ever and ever. Thank You for that wonderful truth. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. And you may be seated. You know, why is it that so many people struggle with the fact of complete forgiveness? Why do so many people struggle with serving God and not coming to the conclusion that once they believed, they were forgiven totally, completely, and eternally by God Almighty? Hey, God cannot lie, and yet He presents the truth of eternal forgiveness, complete forgiveness, total forgiveness throughout all the Scripture. Let me ask you this, can God be trusted to tell the truth? All right, if God can be trusted to tell the truth, does He have the power to forgive sins totally and completely and eternally? He presents it all in Scripture. Now, is eternal security of the believer a Bible doctrine or a Baptist myth? You see, most of the world thinks it's a Baptist myth. That we believe and hold on to eternal security, and that the Scripture, they believe, doesn't teach once saved, always saved. I love that. I'm going to say it again because I like it so much. Once you're saved, you're always saved. It's like once I was born, I'm always born. I can't ever become unborn. Now, all I'm saying to you is the truth is in the Scripture. Why do so many people struggle with this thing? Well, don't turn there. Luke chapter 5. Remember the man who was let down through the roof by his four friends? And you remember when he healed that man and told him to take up his bed and walk? Remember, some people got upset about that. And yet Jesus made this statement. They said, how? Who are you to forgive sins? And He says, but that you may know that the Son of Man hath power upon the earth to forgive sins. Man, it drew them back. They stepped back. And who are you think you are? Well, He was God. And you know what He had power to do? He had power to totally and completely and eternally forgive. He had that power just prior to Jesus ascending. Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Now, folks, that all power means all power. That means He has all power over sin. He has all power over Satan. He has all power over death. He has all power over wicked men. And He has power to forgive sins totally, completely, and eternally. Why can He do that? Because all power belongs to Him. You see, if Jesus has all power, and this all power includes all things, then doesn't it reason then to believe that when Jesus forgives, it's all sins? If He's got all power and includes all things, let me tell you something, when He forgives, then it means all sins. Nothing left out, all sins past, all sins present, and all sins of the future. Hey, let me say something to you this morning. Jesus does not promote insecurity. Jesus does not promote insecurity among the believers. Absolutely not. Christ promoted and continues to promote the security of the believer. And I'm afraid that so many in the Church of the Living God today are not serving because they think, for some reason, they can't serve because of something they're mixed up in, or a bad thought, or this or that or the other thing. I'm here to tell you, if you've trusted Christ, you're totally, completely, eternally forgiven. Totally, completely, eternally forgiven. Boy, that could be a song, couldn't it? Just has a ring to it. You see, God illustrates this all through Scripture. You know, when God decided to destroy the earth by flood, He put Noah and his family on the ark and totally and completely protected them. He totally and completely saved them from the flood. When Lot's family was in Sodom and He brought Lot and his family out, He brought them out totally and completely. He didn't leave them in there to go through the judgment and the fire. He didn't leave Noah out to go through the destruction of the world by flood. Over and over, God again reveals to an unbelieving world that He is trustworthy to do as He said He would do. Think about this, for example. If someone builds a resume and you follow up on the references of that resume and you confirm the information that you find on that resume to be true, then don't you feel pretty safe about believing that person based on the truth after you check it out? Can I tell you this morning, dear folks, I got a whole Bible full of references. And I've checked them out, and you know what? They're all true. So you know what? I feel pretty confident this morning that when I got saved, I'm totally, completely, and eternally forgiven. Because I have a whole Bible full of references that I've checked out, including the own Jesus Christ's own words. You see, it may be that the reason that some struggle with this truth of God's total, complete, and eternal forgiveness is because some of us don't practice complete forgiveness and forgiving and forgetting. And it may be because we're not practicing and we continue to hold people bound and responsible because of their offense toward us. So guess what? We figured that if that's the way we are, that must be the way God is. Can I say something to you? The Scripture says totally the opposite. Isaiah 55, verse number 8, does it not say, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord"? That means His ways are far above my ways. His thoughts are far above my thoughts. Where I may not forgive, He forgives. And He does it totally, completely, and eternally. Can I say this to you, my dear friend? God has no intentions whatsoever of leaving you in doubt about His forgiveness of sins. He has no intentions of leaving you or I in doubt about forgiveness of sins. Now, what I want to do this morning is take just a few moments and we're going to look at the resume Okay, we're just going to look at three things of God's resume about forgiveness in the Scripture. And let's just come to a conclusion once we're all done, if the Word of God is true. And once we're forgiven, are we forgiven totally, completely, and eternally? Now, let me say this. You say, what sparks a message like this? Why are you so adamant about this? Well, I was raised in a denomination for years, and they taught you never can know. You never know. Well, you know what? I don't think I want to live on a you never know. I want to live on something I can confirm. I want to live something I know totally. I want to live on something I know completely. And I want to know that I'm saved eternally. That's the reason I love it. That eternal, listen, one of the greatest doctrines in all the Bible is eternal security of the believer. Saved forever. Saved forever and ever. Totally, completely, and eternally. Well, let's take a look at God's resume. Take your Bible, if you would. Psalm 86. Psalm chapter number 86, if you would, please. Psalm chapter number 86 and verse number 5. Psalm 86 and verse number 5. Oh, look at this. This is good stuff. Now, this is I'm going to get God's resume started off with this particular point. And here's what he says. Psalm 86 and verse 5. The scripture says, "For thou, Lord, art good." Everybody agree with that? Well, look at the next statement, "and ready to forgive." It says God is good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Did you notice here that the scripture says that part of God's resume, when we look at it in scripture here, is that God is ready to forgive? He's ready, he's prepared, he's willing, and you know what? He's going to furnish us with what is necessary. You know what our need is? Forgiveness. And he's the only one that has it. And you know what? Since he's the only one that has it, and all power is given unto him to forgive sins, he's ready. He's ready to forgive. He's willing. Did you notice it says that he also has plenty, he's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon them? See, the thing about it is God's ready. He's willing to forgive. It just means that we just got to come get it. He's ready to forgive. You say, how, Brother Todd, how can God be so ready to forgive me? You don't understand how bad and how wicked and how terrible I've been. Well, I may not understand, but God does understand. You know why he understands? Because in Psalm chapter 103 and verse number 14, he remembers who we are. We are but dust, dirt. You ever gone out and picked up a handful of dirt and just kind of rolled around in your hand and thought, what value does dirt have? Can you imagine going and taking some bags and putting dirt in there and then sitting out on the street corner here and trying to sell bags of dirt to people? In our day and time, somebody probably stop by and buy it. But dirt doesn't have a whole lot of value. Isn't it amazing that Scripture says that God remembers that that's what we are? He remembers. You know what we need? He is so ready to forgive. He understands who we are. We're but dust. He pitieth. He pitieth. The Scripture says in verse 13 of Psalm 103. Well, wait a minute. He not only remembers who we are, he remembers what we are. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me say that again. For all have sinned. You know what? He not only knows who we are, he knows what we are. I'm dust, and without Christ, I'm lost. I'm a sinner without God if I've never trusted Jesus Christ. He remembers I'm dust of the ground. He remembers what I am. I'm a sinner. And let me tell you something. You know something? The thing is, I'm a sinner prior to salvation, and I'm a sinner after salvation. Say, what makes the difference? Jesus and forgiveness. You see, the thing about it is I came to Him to be saved, and I gave Him my life, I gave Him my heart, and He completely and totally and eternally saved me of all sins of the past, the present, and all sins of the future. You see, the thing about it is, after salvation, you say, you still a sinner? Yeah, but I don't. When I go to the Lord, I don't have to go to Him to be saved anymore. See, I don't have to go to Him to be saved anymore. I just have to go to Him to make sure things are still right. I just go to Him to make sure that I stay in His favor. You see, He remembers who we are. We're dirt. We're dust. He remembers what we are. We're all sinners. Look around, folks. Guess what we are? All sinners. We all are. But not only does He remember who we are, He's ready to forgive. Not only does He remember what we are, and He's still ready to forgive, He remembers where we are. John chapter 6 and verse number 68, Jesus asked the question because, boy, He was really starting to hammer some tough subjects. And as He began to teach, a lot of the disciples began to go away, and He looked at His apostles and said, will ye also go away? And they chirped up, Peter did, and said, to whom shall we go? He says, thou hast the words of eternal life. He says, you're the one that we came to be totally and completely forgiven. To whom shall we go? There is no other. Isn't that what He said in Isaiah chapter 45? We read just a moment. He says, even I am the Lord, your Savior. There is no other beside Him. Hey, the apostles figured that out. You see, God's created us. He knows us. He feels responsible for us because we're His. The problem is, some of us, we're just not ready to come to Him. He's ready. He's got forgiveness, and it's total, it's complete, it's eternal. Some are just not ready to come to Him. My question is, what's holding you back? Isn't it amazing when Uncle Sam starts extending things? When Uncle Sam starts ready to give things out, isn't it amazing the lines are as far as you can see? We don't have any problem going and taking that, do we? And these days, they seem really ready to give stuff. I mean, man, that hand is extended, and listen, people are lined up forever and ever and ever. They don't feel bad about going and taking that. So, why are people not in line to receive the Lord's forgiveness? He's ready. He's ready. He's prepared. He's willing. And He's willing to furnish the very thing that we need. You know, without Christ, it's eternal forgiveness of sin. And there's not a sin that you've committed or I've committed that Jesus hadn't already paid for. And it was all done on the cross. Listen, my dear friend, when He said, it is finished, it was finished totally, it was finished completely, and it was finished eternally. And yet He's ready to forgive. He's anxious to do that. Kind of like a parent. Most parents I know, you know what? They're pretty anxious. They're pretty anxious to give to their kids. Man, they want their kids to have it. They want their kids to come and receive it. They're anxious to give to them. Can you imagine how much more your Heavenly Father is willing to give to you? If you're here this morning and you're a believer, and you say, I just don't know if I can go to the Lord anymore. I've gone to Him 150 times, 250 times, 350 times for this one single sin. All right, what about 351? And 352? And 3? And 4? And on? And on? And on? You know what? He's ready. He's ready to forgive. Somebody show me where God's not ready to forgive. You see, we've got it in our mind that He is so tired of us and He's so sick of us coming for this same thing over and over and over and over again that He don't want to hear it anymore. I don't know what Bible you're reading. That's not mine. He's ready to forgive. Wait a minute now. Not only is God ready to forgive, He is steady. He is steady to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from, does your King James Bible say all? All unrighteousness? Remember a while ago we read in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? So if we're all sinners and we serve a God that's ready to forgive, guess what? He's ready to cleanse all unrighteousness. That's totally and complete and eternally for us. You see, God is steady. He's constant in action. He's firm in purpose if we'll just come. Did you notice in that verse in 1 John 1:9, it said that He is faithful? You know what that means, dear, my dear friend? He's consistent. He's got forgiveness every time. In my Bible, 1 John 1:9, I about wore that thing out. Because I go to that verse all the time and I put my hand on that. Man, I've got that little oily skin, gray, black looking stuff all in my Bible because I put my hand on that and I pray over that verse. And I said, Lord, if You didn't mean it, it wouldn't be there. So here I come, and listen, I done lost count for a bunch of stuff. So I don't go to the Lord anymore and say, Lord, I'm coming to You for about the 1,000th and 1,500 and 1,600th time. He's not concerned about what the number is. He's just concerned, are You willing to come? Because He's ready. He's ready. He wants us to be right. He wants to give salvation for those who are without Christ. Listen, not only is He ready to forgive, He's steady, He's consistent. But did you notice it also says that He's just. He's impartial. He's just. He allows what is due. And you know what? He could not be a just God if He had not extended salvation to everyone. He is a just God. He's faithful and He's just. He's impartial. And then it says He cleanses. He frees from, I like this, He removes. He removes that sin. He cleanses us. He frees us. You see, we got way too many people of God that have trusted Jesus Christ that still think they're walking around with shackles on their legs and handcuffs on their hands. Can I say to you, when you got saved, the Lord freed you from all that. Totally, completely, and eternally. Hey, God's promoting security, friends, not insecurity. He's promoting the security of the believer. So He's faithful. He's just. He cleanses. And then it says all unrighteousness, entirely. Entirely. You see, the only question here is directed at us in that verse. And it's the first three words, if we confess. If we understand that He's ready. You see, my dear friend, God in heaven is ready this morning. If you don't know that heaven's your home, you know what He's doing? He's ready to forgive. He's ready to save. He's ready to bring you into the family of God. But you just got to be willing to come. If you're here this morning as a child of God and you're away from God, you know what? He's still ready. He's ready to bring you back to the place of service. It doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter how bad you think you are. God says He's willing to cleanse and forgive all unrighteousness. All of it. Entirely. You see, the question is if we confess. You see, God forgives when we willfully acknowledge our sin before Him. And boy, I tell you, these are tough words to say. But you're going to have to learn to say them. It's called these words, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. And when we go before God, listen, one of the first things that will be out of my mouth, Lord, just want to let You know, I'm wrong. You say, I don't need to say that, Brother Todd. He already knows that. Yeah, but He likes to hear you say it, though. He likes to hear me say it and actually confess that I'm admitting I'm wrong. So that He can do in my heart and in your heart exactly what He wants to do. So God is ready to forgive. He's extending. He wants to forgive. Number two, He's steady in forgiving. He's faithful and He's just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then may I say part of God's resume is not only that He's ready and that He's steady, the way He does every time, but number three, it's complete. It's complete. You see, when God removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden, He removed them totally from the garden. You see, when God flooded the earth, He flooded the earth totally with water. You know, people who believe in this local flood, something's wrong. How can you have a local How can you have a local flood that is so deep that it's above the highest mountain and it be local? That doesn't even make sense. But God flooded the earth totally with water. He delivered Israel from Egyptian bondage completely. He freed them completely. Jesus didn't partially raise from the dead. He completely rose from the dead. He didn't get victory over death partially. It was complete victory over death. You see, Jesus didn't partially die. He wasn't partially crucified. He didn't partially pay my sin debt or partially purchase salvation. He did it totally, completely, and eternally. But may I say also, when a person dies without Christ and goes to hell and eventually the lake of fire, it's not temporary. It's total, complete, and eternal separation from God. You see, the resume is pretty evident, isn't it? The resume says, hey, he's ready to forgive. It also says that he's steady. He is no respecter of persons, but it's complete. It's complete. Let me read you a few verses here before we finish this thing up. Job chapter 14, verse 17. I want you to listen to what Job said. In all the problems that he had, he still held on and understood that salvation was totally, completely, and eternally. And he makes this statement in Job 14, 17. He says, my transgression is sealed up in a bag, and thou sewest up mine iniquity. He says, I remember, I understand that when I came to Christ for salvation, when I came to the Lord, he took all my sins, past, present, future, put them in a bag, and then sewed it shut. They're complete. It's complete forgiveness. Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17. Isaiah says, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. You know what that means, dear friend? That means total. That means complete. That means eternal. He says, you've taken all my transgressions. You've taken all my iniquity. He said, you've taken all my sins and cast them behind thy back. Now, when people normally take something that they don't care for anymore, and they take it, wad it up, and do this. Do they have any intentions of ever going back and getting that? Do they even care about it? No, it's gone. It's where? It's behind them. And God said he took your sins and my sins in Jesus Christ and he cast them behind him. He put them away completely, totally, eternally. All my sins. You say, but preacher. No, but preacher. All my sins. But you don't understand. No. I don't have to understand. I said all my sins. All my sins are behind his back. Psalm 103, verse 12. Oh, this is a good one now. He says, as far as the east is from the west, as far as the east is from the west, he said, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. He's taking them and put them in a bag, Job said, and sealed it up. They're done. Isaiah said, he's taken all my sins at forgiveness and cast them behind his back. David said in Psalm 103 that he's taken his sins and as far as the east is from the west, so far, hath he removed our transgressions from us? Jeremiah 31, 34. Jeremiah says, for I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. Hebrews 8, 12. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Hebrews 10, 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. I mean, he says it over and over and over again. He says,
They're in a bag, sewed up. He says, all your sins are behind my back. He says, they're as far as the east is from the west. So far have I removed our, that He's removed our transgressions. And He says, when I forgive, I will remember them no more. See, the problem is God's already forgot them. The problem is you can't. Maybe I should say this. Maybe it is that we can't, it's that we won't. You see, when God forgave us, He forgave all sins. And if you're here this morning, you say, Brother Todd, I'm so far away. I just get tired of going back to the Lord for the same old sin over. Well, let me ask you this. If God says, hey, I'm going to limit it, how many times you get forgiven, and why did He have Isaiah or Psalm 86:5 in there where He says that He's ready to forgive? You know, if you're ready to forgive, it kind of sounds to me like you're almost on the edge of the throne saying, hey, somebody come and make an appeal. I'll forgive. You say, but you don't understand what I've done. Don't understand how bad I am. Well, let me read you something out of Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 1 and 2. God says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. But He says in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God. You see, the simple problem this morning is not that God is not ready to forgive. He's not ready to take a believer that's gotten out of the way and restore. He's ready to restore. This morning, it says His arm is not short that it cannot save. Hey, He's willing to save anybody. Anybody. You see, the thing about it is we get in the habit of categorizing sin. That certain sins are worse than other sins, and there are certain sins that are going to require, a lot of forgiveness to forgive those. Can I say this to you folks? Sin is sin is sin is sin. It's sin. And yet He's willing to forgive. You know what we need to do? We just need to come and confess. You see, there's total, complete, eternal forgiveness for all who will come. Let me throw a little disclaimer on the bottom of this, all right? Let me give you a disclaimer for the believer this morning in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 14. If you're a believer this morning and you want to continue to have a right relationship with God and you want to continue to have God's favor, here's what Jesus says. He says, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But He goes on to say that if you don't, then your heavenly Father will not forgive you your trespasses. Now, wait a minute. He's not talking about trespasses for salvation and sin. He's talking about, you want to keep favor with me? You want to keep a relationship with me as a believer? If you want to keep right with me, you know what we need to do? We need to make sure that we're right, and that when people come to us, we forgive them, so that when we go before the throne of grace and we confess, what do we expect? We expect forgiveness, right? God says, if you're not right horizontally, you ain't going to be right vertically. So a little disclaimer, which means that when you come before that throne of grace, or you come to the altar, and you lift up your voice having aught against your brother, that disclaimer just simply means claim denied until you make it right. But if you're here this morning, and you're without Christ, and you're unsettled in your heart about heaven, let me give you something in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. And you need to listen to this. This right here is what transformed my direction. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, the disclaimer this morning is, if you come this morning to this altar, it's all Jesus. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It is not part Jesus and part you. It's not that He's extending salvation to you and you're going to have to do something to keep it and maintain it. It's either all Christ or it's not Christ at all. You see, if a person comes this morning thinking that they've got to do certain things in order to maintain salvation, can I say about my disclaimer this morning? Claim denied. Claim denied. That means if we come this morning sincerely, confessing, desiring relationship as a believer, we got to make sure that we're right with men. If we come this morning for sonship, to be born into the family of God, we just simply have to come understanding that it's not of me, it's all of Jesus. That's the reason, my dear friend, on the cross some 2,000 plus years ago, that's the reason everything was done for you totally, completely, and eternally. Now, the choice is simply yours. If, well, that's just a two-letter word, but it's huge. It's huge. If, my simple question is this morning, are you going to respond? Hey, it's totally, it's completely, it's eternally. Don't, if you're a believer this morning, don't be bound. Don't listen to the devil's lie. Jesus already has all power over that. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many of you this morning would say, "Preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt. No question, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my home. I can remember the time that I accepted Christ. I can remember when I accepted Christ. I know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. And I don't have one ounce of doubt. I know that I'm saved." Would you just raise your hand as a testimony before the Lord? You say, "Preacher, I know that's me. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven is my home. I've been born again." All right, God bless you.